Go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. We'll be looking at verses 1 and 2 this morning. Here, in this part of Genesis, we are given an account of God creating the heavens and the heaven and the earth. And just so you're aware, the book of Genesis, it spans the first nearly 2,400 years of man's history. There's a lot of history that is packed there into the book of Genesis, the first almost 2,500 years of our history. And so this morning I'm going to look at some details regarding creation. But let us never forget that all of Scripture is given to us. It's written by the inspiration of God, and it's given to us to reveal Christ to us, to reveal the salvation of God for his grace revealed in his Son. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was speaking to the Jews in John chapter 5, verse 40, he said, "You search the Scriptures. You men, you study the Scriptures and you look in the Scriptures, because in them you think you have eternal life. You think that by your studying, by your works, by your knowledge, by your finding out, that you can obtain salvation for yourselves and make a righteousness for yourselves." But they were missing the salvation of God. And Christ said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." The Scriptures testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's fully evident here in creation. We're told that Philip, when in John chapter 1, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Moses wrote of Christ. That's John 1:45. And then after Christ went to the cross and was crucified and buried and rose again, and he came to those two men on the road to Emmaus, in Luke 24:27, we're told that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And so when we go to these Scriptures, we're not looking to these Scriptures to get ourselves saved, to find out how we can come to God by our works and by our righteousness, but we're coming to behold the salvation of God revealed in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the grace of God to you, his people. He is the grace of God, the salvation of God revealed to you. And so these Scriptures are recorded for us, and they're given to us to reveal our ruined condition, to show us what we are in Adam, how that we are ruined by the fall. We're destroyed in Adam, and they show us Christ, who is the gift of God, revealing the grace of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God for his people to obtain for them forgiveness of sins. And so in creation here, we see pictures of man's need. We see a picture of man's ruined condition. We see a picture of the fall of man. We see a picture of us. We see our destitute and ruined fall in Adam, in ourselves, in our sin, and we're seeing the Lord declare the grace of God in Christ. We're seeing him declare to us, "This is my salvation. Christ is your justification. Look to him. He's the mediator between you and me." That's what God is saying. You look to Christ. I've titled this message, "In the Beginning." In the beginning. All right, so in verse 1, Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Our Lord is telling us that God is our Creator. He brings forth all things. All matter is created by Him. All the elements are brought forth by the Lord. And all the laws that govern those elements are all created and brought forth by the Lord. Our God is our Creator. There is nothing in this universe that has not been created by God. God created all things, living and dead, animate and inanimate, all the things, whether it's a tree or a rock, an animal, piece of dirt, the water, the air, it's all created and governed by the Lord our God. He brought it into existence out of nothing, out of nothing. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We declare that God is the Creator, and it's without dispute. We don't argue or debate this at all. We believe it. We believe the word of our God revealed to us by the Spirit. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Here it says, through faith, and faith is wrought in us by the gift of God, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so the word of God, and Christ is the word of God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, all things that are created were created by Him. And the things that are created came out of nothing. God brought them out of nothing. He spoke them into existence. God didn't need dust and particles to exist first. He created those dust and those particles. He brought forth everything. And so we're told that God creates things. I think the words are ex nihilo. Ex meaning out of, and nihilo, nothing. Out of nothing, God created everything that we see and know. Man can make and manufacture many things. He has many devices, many inventions that he creates, but his inventions and his creations are all born out of, he uses everything that God created. And he makes things based on the laws that God created and put into place for him. And so God alone is the Creator. He creates. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The next thing that we learn is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What is this beginning? Because God is eternal. God is eternal. What does he mean, in the beginning? He's speaking of the beginning of time, in the beginning of creation. At the very beginning, it was God who created the heavens and the earth. We know that the Father is eternal. We know that the Word of God, the Son of God, He is eternal. He was with God in the beginning. We know that the Spirit of God is eternal. God has no beginning. No part of God had a beginning, just as no part of God has an end. He's eternal. But the Lord is speaking here of the beginning of creation, the beginning of time. And so God created the heaven and the earth at the beginning of time. In Mark 13, verse 19, I'll read it to you. Mark 13, verse 19, the Lord is speaking of the end times, the end of time. And he says, in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of creation. The beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And so the Lord speaks of the beginning of time, and he speaks of the end of time, because God is eternal. And we live in time right now, but in that day, we shall dwell with God forever, eternally with him, not confined by the bounds of time in that day. So the beginning of time is what's in view when the Apostle John spoke of Christ creating all things. So in John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so the eternal Word of God was there with eternal God in the beginning of time when the earth and the heaven was created. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so we read of in the scriptures that Christ is the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God was with God in the beginning when the foundations of the world were laid. And when God spoke all things into existence, he was speaking. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God. He's the revealer of God. He's the creator of all things that we see. And so we read of in Proverbs 3, verse 19, for example, that the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. And so what do we know and what do we understand of God? It's all revealed to us in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who created us. He's the one who created the heaven. He's the one who created the earth. And he's the one who reveals all things to the people of God to know our God, to know our Creator, to know our Savior, to know him. And he's our wisdom. And he's our understanding, which is given to us, to believers, who in themselves have no righteousness. But we know that God is holy and righteous, and we're made to know our need of him, that we cannot save ourselves, but that he's our God. And he created us to know him, and to worship him, and to serve him. And we only know this by the revelation of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we believe him. We believe him. We trust him. We know that he is true and that he is revealing this to us, making us to know who our Creator is and who our God is, that we should seek him and desire him and ask him to reveal himself to us, which is all wrought in the people of God, because God is faithful to reveal himself to his people and to put in them that desire to know him and to be known of him. Next, we come to verse 2, Genesis 1, 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, as I was reading this, it became obvious pretty quickly, and I'm familiar with these, but I was reading it again, and there's different views about the creation of the heaven and the earth. Some men say that God first spoke into existence. He first created all the elements, all the dust particles, and just brought in all these things in the form of a chaotic manner. There was all these pieces there available to God now. He laid it all out, and then he began to form and create the earth and to create the heaven and to make use of those things that he brought forth. And from there, he made a finished product. And that's what we see being talked about and worked out in the rest of Genesis there. And I don't have any problem with that. By itself, I don't have any issue or take any exception to that, and there's reason why some men say that and why they speak of creation in that manner. But there's also another sense in which we understand the creation of our God. In other words, God spoke and created it in its final state. He created the heaven and the earth. He just spoke it into existence, and there it stood fast. It was made whole when God brought it forth. And from that perfect and finished state, they understand the scriptures to be saying, from there it fell into darkness. It became void. It became ruined. It had no form. Now let me just read to you a few scriptures, because there are scriptures that speak of God's creation, that when he speaks it, it stands forth. It comes forth in that final state. So Psalm 33, verse 6, and then verse 9 I'll read. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now there's a picture of the Trinity right there. There's the Lord, the Father, and he spoke. There's the Son, and he breathed, which is the Spirit of God. We see the Trinity right there. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And then in verse 9, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. God brings forth what he wills, and it's done. It's complete. It's exactly as he wills it to be when he speaks it. Right? We see, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was no additional construction on that light. There was light. When God spoke it, he spoke it into existence. And so, either way, though, both viewpoints, both define and understand the creation of God to be quick and instantaneous. There's no long lapse of time. There's no need for geological evolution things. There's none of that. We don't come from a stewy pot of goo and where a single cell had to divide and multiply and become other organisms. God created it. God brought forth all life. He's God. He's able to do that. He doesn't need millions and billions of years. That's the finite mind of man who cannot comprehend God and tries to explain away the reality that God is our creator. And it's not scriptural what they say, and it's a lie. God is our creator. And he didn't bring it forth through evolution. He's almighty, all-glorious, holy God. And he does exactly as he pleases. And that comforts the people of God. Again, we see other things which explain the instantaneous power and glory of God in the scriptures. For example, Paul speaks of a moment, of something that happens in a twinkling of an eye. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. Even the Apostle John says, we aren't what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In that instant, God will change us and transform us to be perfectly conformed to Christ in an incorruptible, immortal body. This corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. So God is able to do that. And so the difference really does come down to this word in verse 2. And the earth was. That's really what they're looking at. And the earth was. In one sense, that word was is from the verb to be. Right? To be. So that it means, and the earth being without form and void, God went to work and shaped it and molded it into that final product that we see traced out and declared in Genesis. But the other sense is that that word was means it became. God created the heaven and the earth, and it became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And so we see there, in that sense, God created it in its final state, and it was perfect. And then it became. Something happened, which we don't know, but something happened that made it devolve into something without form and being void and in darkness. Right? Another sense that we see here that speaks to that in the scriptures is Ecclesiastes 7:29. This only have I found, that God hath made man upright. He didn't make man deformed. He didn't make man a defiled creature in sin and in ruin. He made man upright. But he hath sought out many inventions. He became wicked. He was defiled in sin in Adam. That's Ecclesiastes 7:29. So God makes all things perfect. God makes everything perfect, it's good, and from there it goes into ruin and sin if God permits it, if God permits it. And so here in another verse, go to Isaiah 45. Go to Isaiah 45. In creation, we see the will and the purpose of God in creating the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And so the idea there is that God created the heavens and the earth. And before man was populated there in the earth, something happened. Some say that that's where Satan was lifted up in pride and fell. And that you can look up in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 14 through 18, that describes the fall. And I just don't want to give him any more space than that. It's just he fell in sin, and then he came down to the earth and destroyed it and ruined it and brought it into that this description here of being void and in darkness and without form. And so we don't know for certain there, but we do know for sure that God created. We know and we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And there are some things that we don't know. We see through a glass darkly, right? We prophesy in part, we know in part, we speak of these things through darkness. We're separated by much time, and it just has a few words on it. And the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. And what has God revealed to us? Who has he revealed to us? He's revealed Christ to us. And he makes us to know that I am that fallen creature. I am the sinner. I do need the grace of God. He created me. And I defiled myself. I ruined myself in my own sin, in my own folly, in my own foolishness. But God, in mercy and in compassion, has revealed to us the Savior, the Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's precious unto the Father. And he sent his darling Son in the likeness of this sinful flesh to do for me what I cannot do for myself. I destroyed myself. I ruined myself in sin and in darkness. But he's provided everything in his darling Son. All my salvation, all my hope, all my forgiveness is witnessed and revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who created me for his own glory, to know him, to call upon him, and to fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. And so our Lord has shown us that Christ is all and in all, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so we understand and know the truth of our God. And that's clearly defined in the scriptures. You know, I guess the question you could say is, well, was there a fall between verse 1 and 2 that isn't really spoken about that much? Because that's what the differences are there, that God created the heaven and the earth became void, and without form and void, and darkness was upon it. Some kind of a fall happened. Something happened in there. I don't know. But there is a fall that I do know about. There is a fall that does concern me greatly. Because I was in Adam when Adam fell. I was in his loins in the same way that Levi was in the loins of Abraham when he gave tithes to Melchizedek. And Abraham, when he gave tithes to Melchizedek, didn't even have his son Isaac. Isaac wasn't born. And that means Jacob wasn't born to Isaac. And that means Levi wasn't born to Jacob. And yet we're told that Levi was in Abraham's loins when he gave tithes to Melchizedek, the priest of God. And so it is that we all were in the loins of Adam. Though none of us were born yet, and our parents weren't born, or our grandparents, but we were all in Adam when he fell. And the picture is that when he became defiled and corrupt with sin, his whole body became defiled and corrupt. And that's why when we're born of that corrupt, defiled seed, ruined in sin. And we come forth going astray from the womb. We come forth in darkness, and we go out and seek many inventions and do worse and worse things and defiling ourselves. We come forth dead in trespasses and sins. And so we do see a picture here in verse 2. And that's really the main point, is that just like the earth's description here, that's a description of you and me in our nature. We are void and without form, and in darkness is upon us. Darkness, because of what we are in Adam. The earth was without form. That means by natural birth, we don't have any part in that form in the body of Christ by nature. We're outside of that body. We have to be born again, born of his seed, adopted into the body, the family of Christ, built in the church of God by Christ himself. And like the earth, which is void, so are we void of righteousness by nature. We're void of goodness. We're void of that holiness of the Lord, that perfection of our God. We're not perfect in ourselves. We don't have a righteousness to stand before a holy God in that day by our own works. That's why he declares over and over again to us the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Christ, covered with his blood, are we faultless. Are we cleansed of our sin and can stand faultless before the throne of God in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come in him, not in our own confidence and boldness in our good works. Like the earth, we come forth in complete and utter darkness. Darkness, having no understanding. No understanding of our God, no knowledge of him. Our minds are in darkness, our hearts are darkened, our thoughts are darkened, until he comes and shines the light of Christ into our dark hearts. As we'll see as we go through this creation account in future times, we'll see that light is Christ, who is the light of his people. So we're void of Christ's righteousness. We're in utter darkness concerning the things of God, and we're not in the body. We're deformed. We're conformed to this world by nature. And we must be conformed to Christ. We have to have that image of corrupt Adam stamped out and the image of Christ put in its place. Stamped in its place, to borrow some words from Charles Wesley in his hymn. And so, we're by nature dead and unprofitable, but in Christ we're made alive. Listen to this description. Go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4, we'll read a description there. So that would be after the Psalms, after Isaiah. And then we come to Jeremiah, chapter 4. And in verse 19, I'll pick it up. You see here this ruin which comes on the people. This is Jeremiah describing this sudden realization that it's over. It's been destroyed. It's been ruined. He says, my bowels, verse 19, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard. I've heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. We've rebelled against God, and we've made war against him in Adam. There in that garden we fell, and we made war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, right? This flesh is ruined, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? There's a coming and pending judgment of God upon the inhabitants of the world who know not God, who continue in their own wicked ways. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. They were in darkness. And so that description here is a description of man. In verse 27, though, here's the mercy. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. And so we see the will and purpose of God is to establish us in Christ, to make us righteous, to deliver us from that death. And so if God created the heaven and the earth, you could see why he would allow it to fall into that state of being void and ruined and in darkness, that he might show his glory and grace. Because we see how God is our creator. And there's a lot of people that do believe that God created them, and yet they have no knowledge, no fellowship of Christ. No knowledge of the salvation of God. They think that because they believe in God, as the devils do, that saves them. But we need a Savior. We need a personal Savior who cleanses us and delivers us from our sin. Because we in ourselves are not righteous. We're sinners. And God's making us to know that we're the void ones. We're the ones in darkness. We have no form. We need his salvation. We need his Savior, that he provided the surety of his people, the one who came and paid our debt in full. And that's what God's making us to know. And so it's one thing to be created of God, like the angels who were created upright and did not fall. But we know Christ in a very different manner, right? Because it speaks of the Holy Spirit then coming upon the waters, right? Hovering above the waters. It said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And that is revealing that beauty of what our God does for us. That word hovered there, well, it means to hover. It means to flutter over. It means to brood over, the way a hen nurtures her chicks, nurtures her little chicks. And what we know of God, it's one thing to be created in an instant, but when we've fallen, as we have, and God in care, in mercy, and in compassion comes and flutters over you and me, unworthy sinners. We don't deserve that, yet he comes in tenderness and in care and flutters over us and moves upon us to make us to know, to conform us to Christ in that patient manner. And that we see scriptures like that too, right? 2 Peter 3:18, when he says, but grow and the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? It's one thing to be in an instant perfect, but our God has taken us in our fallen, ruined nature, fluttering over us and growing us, which we see and understand in the walk of faith. Right? Walk of faith. We're not as we would be. We grieve over our sin because we see our foolishness and the folly of this flesh. The flesh is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of Christ. And so we long for him, we desire him, but it's a walk of faith, lest we should be proud and lifted up and think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But God, in mercy, cares for us and comes upon us and gently moves us in Christ, in life, in light of the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching us and growing us. And those waters are a picture of man, right? In Revelation, we're told that the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So the waters are peoples. And so that picture of the Spirit moving on the waters is a picture of God moving upon us. And so we see here that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God sent his Son obtained the mercy and compassion of God for us in putting away our sin, and he purposes to bring this knowledge to us and sends his Spirit to come and hover, to brood over us, to call us out of darkness, to teach us his word, to declare the gospel, and to give us a hearing ear to hear that blessed word and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he gives us life by the Spirit. So I pray the Lord bless that word, and we'll come back and see more of how our Savior creates us in newness of life.